allergen immunotherapy for asthma, and I'm going to try in 20 minutes, which is a very short time to discuss such a complicated subject, to give you what evidence do we have right now in favor or against the use of this treatment in asthma. The objectives at the end of the session, I hope that the audience will appreciate the controversy that has surrounded the use of allergen immunotherapy for the treatment of asthma. I hope you will understand the current data regarding the utilization of allergen immunotherapy in the treatment of asthma, and to recognize the challenges faced in asthma, in studying allergen immunotherapy in asthma, and realize the potential of this therapy in the long-term management of this complicated disease. Now, I do have one disclosure to make, and that is that I love immunotherapy. And after 17 years of experience with this treatment, I continue to be fascinated with it, and I continue to see the great benefits on an everyday basis. I will share some of the data that already exists on this treatment. Immunotherapy has been around for a long time. We just celebrated a few years ago the 100th anniversary of immunotherapy. Noon had described this treatment back in 1911. And allergen immunotherapy really has not changed much in the first 75 years after that, until recently when there's been a number of advancements and novel formulations in more recent times. Now, officially, immunotherapy is indicated or can be used in the treatment of allergic rhinitis, in stinging insect venom anaphylaxis, in asthma, and more recently, a new indication for atopic dermatitis in subjects with aeroallergen sensitization. Now, it is not indicated, at least as of today, in food allergy, drug allergy, urticaria, angioedema, and non-IgE-mediated conditions. But stay tuned. They are working on food allergy as we speak. There's been a lot of consensus statement on allergen immunotherapy by many different organizations across the world. One such international consensus was a meeting was recently held, and this brought together all the experts, allergists, immunologists from United States and Europe, Asia, and basically they discussed the what we call the different strengths, weaknesses, and challenges and opportunities of immunotherapy, short as SWOT. And one of the several strengths of immunotherapy is its disease-modifying effect, its sustained effect after stopping it. It has very well-defined immune mechanisms and has great potential to reduce the long-term costs of healthcare costs. However, there are weaknesses such as time and resource investment, long duration of treatment. In this consensus, they were able to identify several type of challenges, including the use and opportunities that we have, including the introduction of new biotechnologies, the combination of biologicals, and also the necessity of using a wider application of this treatment in managing allergic disease in general. And one of these challenges is managing using this treatment more wide scope in the management of asthma. But one of the problems with using it in asthma, or at least part of the studies that have been used in asthma, there's been some really main methodological limitations of the studies on allergen immunotherapy in asthma. And this held back some of the acceptance of this treatment. For example, in most studies on allergen immunotherapy, the main outcome or the primary outcome was not asthma. It was actually allergic rhinitis. Asthma was not a primary outcome. Therefore, the sample size was not really designed for the primary outcome, was not designed for asthma. The patient selection varied, severe, moderate, mild asthmatics, different types of therapy. Objective parameters were not always used, like pulmonary function. The protocols were different types, different durations. The optimal duration is yet to be established, and the optimum maintenance dose was not established. So these methodological limitations of the studies in asthma really affected some of the acceptance. Nevertheless, despite all that, we have quite a bit of data, and allergists, including this group that met, and allergists in general agree that allergic asthma can be effectively treated with immunotherapy in patients with concomitant allergic rhinitis as an add-on treatment to the regular asthma treatment. However, not everyone has agreed with this. As recently as 2001, this pro-con editorial was published by Atkinson. It stated that immunotherapy is not clinically indicated in the management of allergic asthma. Although the study has a lot of, was criticized heavily due to several design factors and bias. However, it's still unfortunately cited to not use immunotherapy in asthma. However, despite that, let me share with you what the current data show. And in summary, there are good quality studies for both subcutaneous and sublingual immunotherapy in allergic asthma, where asthmatic symptoms were evaluated. There are many meta-analyses that are available. However, the problem with those analyses, some of them were very heterogeneous population, and the numbers were sometimes low. And the data does suggest that both types of immunotherapy does provide improvement in asthma with rhinitis, provided that asthma is adequately controlled. Now, this is a list of prospective randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled studies using a meta-analysis that showed the effectiveness of specific immunotherapy in the treatment of allergic asthma. They range from 1995 to 2010. Starting with 1995, one of the earliest ones, this was a meta-analysis of 20 studies between 1960 and 1990, and that looked at the odds ratio of improvement in many aspects, such as medication, symptomatic improvement, decrease in hyperreactivity. And it was calculated that it needs 33 similar studies with negative results to offset or negate the published results. What did this study show? It showed that the odds ratio of improvement was above 1 in reducing asthma symptoms, in reducing bronchial hyperreactivity, reducing medication use, and improvement in pulmonary function. This was one of the earliest meta-analyses. The next one was conducted in 2000. This was done on using 24 studies, 962 patients. We're talking subcutaneous immunotherapy here. It was judged to be effective in 71% of studies, ineffective in 17, and equivocal in 12. But overall, the conclusion was it was effective in a population of patients with allergen-triggered asthma. In 2003, another Cochrane review looked at 75 randomized controlled trials. Again, the conclusion was similar, reducing asthma symptoms and decreasing use of asthma medications and improvement in bronchial hyperreactivity. This is 2005 now. Again, this is another meta-analysis looking at mite immunotherapy. And if you look at the scale in the middle here, it represents the, what we call the standardized mean difference. And anything on the left side, which is a negative value, represents benefit. And as you can clearly see in these 8 studies, the standard mean difference was minus 0.78, indicating improvement in symptoms. If you look at pollen immunotherapy, the same kind of thing in symptom scores, again, it was beneficial as the standardized mean difference was to the left. Finally, in 2010, the latest one in subcutaneous immunotherapy, again, this was involved 88 immunotherapy trials, different types of allergens, dust mite, pollen, animal, a couple of moles, and multiple allergens. Again, this one, looking at mite, you can see the standardized mean deviation was to the left, which is statistically means there is a statistical significant improvement. Same thing with pollen. However, at the conclusion of this, the authors discussed what does this imply, what are the implications for a practice. Even though the evidence assembled clearly shows or confirms that the efficacy of immunotherapy in reducing asthma symptoms and medications, however, it gave us limited guidance concerning the size of the benefit compared with other therapies. For example, is the treatment effective in patients on different types of inhaled steroid doses, on different levels of the types of asthma? These are the kind of questions that still remain. What about SLIT, sublingual immunotherapy in asthma treatment? As you know, most of the studies had been done with subcutaneous because it's been around for a longer, much longer time. But now with the advancement of SLIT, we also have some exciting data to report. The meta-analysis published in 2008 in children between 3 and 18 years of age, again, looking at the standardized mean difference in this meta-analysis in 9 studies, again, you can see a significant improvement of an SMD of -1.14 as far as symptom scores are concerned. Same thing when it comes to medications score. Clearly, there is a significant improvement favoring the use of sublingual immunotherapy in patients with allergic asthma. Now, what about, I think a question a lot of pulmonologists and clinicians want to ask, what about the effect of allergen immunotherapy on inhaled steroid dose? Now, immunotherapy does not take the place of regular medications. Maybe down the road, yes, but not initially. So one of our main objectives by decreasing symptoms, decreasing medications, is we also want to decrease the dose of steroid. Does it have a steroid-sparing effect? And it does. This is a study published in 2010, steroid-sparing effect with allergen-specific immunotherapy in children with asthma and allergic rhinitis. These were children with house dust mite allergy who had well-controlled asthma on fluticasone treated with SCIT versus placebo, and the SCIT group was able to reduce the ICS dose at the end of the study, at the end of 1 year, by 50% while maintaining asthma control and even improved peak morning peak flow. Another study looking at the sublingual immunotherapy, house dust mite sublingual immunotherapy, again, was shown not only to have a steroid-sparing effect in this study after 1 year, but also showed it to be effective in moderate persistent asthma, even a higher grade in asthma. Another study published recently, this is a standardized quality, it was a standardized dose of house dust mite sublingual immunotherapy tablet, and now the tablet is being used more and more in around the world. Again, they looked at the ability to reduce the inhaled corticosteroid dose while maintaining asthma control. And in this study, they used 4 different doses. They used 1, 3, and 6 DU of this ALK house dust mite allergen tablet. And the primary effect was looking at the steroid-sparing effect after 1 year. And you can see in this left, I don't have a pointer here. As you can see, in all this treatment, it favored the generally decreasing the steroid dose, but it was only significantly impressive or significantly significant in the 6 DU dose. In this case, the 6 DU dose where the patients were able to reduce the inhaled steroid dose significantly, as you can see in this graph down here on the left. Sorry, I cannot point it very well here. Okay? As you can see, the p-value was 0.0011, which was a significant improvement. The conclusion, the primary efficacy standpoint was a significant reduction in inhaled steroid dose compared to baseline after 1 year of treatment. The decrease in dose was more than 80 micrograms per day of inhaled budesonide for a group receiving different types of acid. Now, you can say 80 milligrams is not much, but over 1 year time, that's quite a bit. What about adverse events with this tablet? As expected, there were some oral side effects, and this was also was used to criticize the study because, you know, if you're taking sublingual tablet, you're probably going to get some oral side effects, so this may perhaps affect the placebo because in placebo you didn't have much. But the side effects were small and acceptable. There's a new novel approach in allergen immunotherapy which combining sublingual and subcutaneous. It's a really very interesting study, and it's something that actually I've been trying myself. And in this study, what they did is they used one group that gave them only SCIT, one group SLIT, and one group where they started on SCIT to get faster response and continued on SLIT for convenience, and one group was just pharmacotherapy. So there was no placebo here. And in this group, in all the 3 groups, they were able to reduce the dose of inhaled steroids at 4, 12, and 18 months for SCIT and SLIT For a slit, the dose of inhaled steroids was reduced at 12 months, and it continued. Not only they were able to reduce the dose in all three treatments, the best reduction was in the skit and slit combination, but they were also able to reduce the asthma attacks per year. So again, a lot of studies now have shown a steroid-sparing effect while maintaining asthma control. Now, what's another reason to consider allergen immunotherapy for asthma is the potential prevention of asthma onset or persistence. This is secondary prevention. In other words, these patients who have developed allergic rhinitis are at risk for asthma, and you give them immunotherapy trying to prevent asthma. So the question is, can immunotherapy prevent allergic asthma as well as treated? And as you know, in the natural history of asthma, we have now different phenotypes. One of the classic ones, graph that we see, is the transient wheezers, the non-atopic wheezers, and what we call the persistent wheezers, those children who by age 6 are clearly allergic, who have potential to continue with asthma. And these are the patients we want to target with this treatment, either before the onset or early on with the onset of wheezing. And this audience does not need to be told about the very strong relationship between allergic rhinitis and asthma, a relationship that goes both ways. So we know that allergic rhinitis is probably the highest risk factor for development of allergic asthma. So the question becomes, what happens when we start immunotherapy in these patients before asthma develops, or earlier, or as early as possible when asthma develops? One of the classic studies was done in 1968 by Johnston and Dutton. It was an observational study that showed that immunotherapy may decrease the progression of asthma in kids with allergic rhinitis who had not yet developed asthma. This was a 14-year study on preventative aspects of immunotherapy. And allergy shots actually did reduce the number of children who developed asthma. No asthma, mild asthma, moderate asthma, severe asthma. As you can see in red here, the patients who received immunotherapy had less chance to develop asthma, while the ones in yellow, the ones that control patients that did not receive immunotherapy, were more likely to develop asthma 14 years later. Well, this was an observational study, but what they did later on, they actually used a prospective study, a controlled prospective placebo study. This was done on 205 children, all with rhinitis, with pollen or grass or birch, no asthma yet, and they gave them immunotherapy, and they followed them for 3 years, and they looked at the results. And not surprisingly, the number of children who developed asthma within 3 years was significantly higher in the control group. In other words, there was an odds ratio of developing asthma in the ones that did not get immunotherapy was 2.5, as you can see in this graph. Well, they did not stop there. Some people ask, well, what happens when we stop immunotherapy? Well, they followed these patients. So here's the 3-year data. In green are the ones that did not develop asthma. In red, the ones that developed asthma who did not get immunotherapy. The odds ratio, as I mentioned, was 2.5. But they stopped immunotherapy at 3 years, and they looked at them at 5 years. What happened at 5 years? The odds ratio of developing asthma was even higher. In other words, those who did not develop asthma still did not develop asthma, while more patients developed asthma in the ones who did not get immunotherapy. At 10 years, the effect was still there. Immunotherapy was protective, while the ones that did not get it had an odds ratio of 3.19, even higher ratio. So even at 10 years later, the immunotherapy effect still held. So by the end of the treatment, 25% of patients had asthma, and those who got immunotherapy, while 45% got it, those who did not. What about real-life study? This is a nice study done in Germany. They have an excellent healthcare system, and they're able to look at records going back in years. This was a retrospective study using healthcare records. A real-life study looking at 118,000 patients, adult patients now, not children, who had allergic rhinitis at the time they started immunotherapy, but they did not have asthma. These patients were looked at in 2005. But these were different groups. Some got subcutaneous, some got sublingual, different allergens.
Your time is ending.
And what did they find? They found that AI immunotherapy reduced progression to asthma by 40%. This was a random, real-life study. So again, it's very impressive. What about SLIT? Now, we know subcutaneous has worked. Do we see the same effect with SLIT? We do. And this is another study looking at 63 children with, actually, this is a tertiary prevention. These are patients who had asthma. And they were given immunotherapy early on when they developed asthma, and they continued to follow these patients. They were given sublingual immunotherapy for 3 years. The patients were about 8-9 years of age, and they had, most of them had asthma plus rhinitis. If you look at this group on the left, these are the control group, SLIT and control at baseline. At 5 years, at 5 years later after immunotherapy was stopped, you can see a significant portion of these patients in white did not have asthma, while the ones who had control still had asthma. Even 10 years later, after stopping immunotherapy, you still see that statistical significance of no developing of asthma in the ones that had asthma at the beginning. So this is what we call tertiary prevention. This is what started after asthma started. Another study in SLIT, actually using co-seasonal pollen sublingual immunotherapy drops, again showed a decrease in the incidence or development of asthma, 20% for SLIT versus 40% in control. In other words, 50% reduction in development of seasonal asthma. So this is why the WHO has, looking at these studies of secondary and tertiary prevention, has stated that allergen immunotherapy, when introduced at the early onset of the disease, may actually have, may modify the natural course of the allergic disease. Two more minutes. Finally, the last couple of slides, people ask, and this is a concern that a lot of people have, can immunotherapy be safely used in asthma? And for SCIT, the risk of systemic reaction is about 0.1%, and with the majority of these being mild to moderate. There have been no fatalities reported in the last 30 years in Europe, and none in the last 10 years in North America. I think subcutaneous immunotherapy got a bad vibe back when, because of some fatalities that happened back in the 90s. And this was, and when you look at those studies, all these patients that had the fatalities were using, they got immunotherapy when asthma was not controlled or severe asthma. If you stay away from that, you're gonna be safe. What about SLIT? The risk of systemic reaction, it has happened, very few cases though. It's very low and not usually a concern, but there are some acceptable local side effects. The factors that increase the risk of systemic reaction include symptomatic asthma, severe asthma, and dosing error. That's why we don't give immunotherapy when the patient is symptomatic or has severe cases. Now, the other concern with safety is not just the side effects. Does immunotherapy actually exacerbate asthma if you give it with somebody? There's no evidence that that can happen. There's no evidence that that happens. Finally, what about treatment failure? You know, some people have some experience or they know a patient who got it, and there's been some treatment failure. And I put failure in quote because there are some reasons for that. If you improperly select the patients, you know, severe uncontrolled asthma or even non-allergic asthma, you're not going to get any benefit. If you don't do good testing, you don't detect the right allergens, you don't give the clinically relevant allergens, you know, just some stupid blood test and you just give immunotherapy without really studying the patient, it's not going to work. If you don't prescribe the right immunotherapy, subcutaneous or sublingual, you have the right contents, you know, each patient is different. Improper dosing or duration, you know, it doesn't work if you give it for 6 months. If there are cofactors that you don't take care of, environmental cofactors, you know, if you have huge poor indoor air quality, you have a lot of dust and mold, you're not going to get better. Non-comprehensive approach to treatment. You know, some people think you just give shots or drops and you stop everything, all and by magic you're going to get better. You need to continue monitoring these patients. Finally, I think that one of the most important is the heterogeneity of asthma. And this has, asthma is no longer considered one disease. There's a lot of phenotypes, different genotypes, and this has the implication of for precision medicine. And this is why recently, in this journal, Allergen Immunotherapy, the title was A Prototype of Precision Medicine. Could allergen immunotherapy actually be a model for the precision medicine? As you know, precision medicine is a new concept that tailors to the genetic, to the genomic makeup of the patient, looking at the molecular underlying mechanism identifying the disease.
We have to make it quick.
Last slide. Identification of the molecular mechanism and then diagnostic tool, and then using treatment blocking to block the molecular mechanism. And I know there's been a lot of lectures on this in this conference. So in immunotherapy, actually, we already have that. We already know what the molecular mechanism of immunotherapy, of allergic disease. We know there's IgE, arming effector cells, binding component, immediate release. We know the diagnostic tools. We know we have IgE-specific testing. We can do blood or skin testing. And finally, we do have the blocking the reaction available. We do have immunotherapy. So we already have a prototype for what we call precision medicine. Maybe we just did not know it yet. Finally, in summary, immunotherapy for asthma in allergic asthmatic patients, I showed you that the evidence has shown that it can decrease symptoms in medication use. It does decrease bronchial reactivity. It does have an inhaled steroid-sparing effect. And it has the potential to decrease the incidence of asthma in allergic children who do not yet have asthma, or what we call secondary prevention. The patient's asthma must be controlled before and during the preventive immunotherapy. There are no special safety concerns other than those associated with immunotherapy in general. And finally, however, there are questions, several questions and factors remain regarding the efficacy, the time, the cost effectiveness, and the lack of uniform acceptance. However, I don't look at that as a negative. I look at that as an opportunity for us to continue to ask questions and do more studies, because this treatment is really available, and we should make it available to our patients. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Zaitoun.